is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest toll of the Southern California wildfires, 25 people killed, thousands of homes destroyed. With Santa Ana winds expected back in Southern California today, people who lost everything in the Los Angeles wildfires are starting to realize a new normal. Jen Wang has been talking to her three children who lost their school in Altadena, just as she did as a child.
We never talked about it before. I guess it just hadn't come up, but my school was destroyed in the Oakland Berkeley Hills fire when I was in sixth grade, and I talked to them about how the community pulled together.
The Supreme Court takes up a major First Amendment case this morning, pitting age verification laws for online pornography against adults' rights to view the explicit material. More confirmation hearings today for President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees, including Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who has been tapped to be the next Secretary of State. This is ABC News. New accusations about what's driving up prices for prescription drugs. The Federal Trade Commission claiming so-called middlemen in the pharmaceutical industry, known as PBMs, made billions of dollars by raising drug prices of specialty drugs, including those for cancer and HIV. ABC's Lana Moise.
The report focused on the PBMs Caremark Rx, owned by CVS Health, Express Scripts, owned by Cigna, and Optum Rx, owned by United Healthcare. The FTC claims between 2017 and 2022, those companies generated $7.3 billion in revenue by marking up dozens of drugs, some marked up by more than 1,000%. Patient advocates say more transparency is needed, with insurers themselves often in the dark about how much the prices are marked up.
A group representing PBMs calls the FTC report baseless. Body mass index no longer would be the sole indicator of obesity under a new proposal. This is
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks clobber the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks jumped out to an early lead and beat the Kings 130-115. Milwaukee with a 21-2 run in the first quarter. Doc Rivers.
We came out, played the right way, ball moved. You know, I think 7 or 8 guys had over 9 attempts, you know, 45 threes. That just tells you the ball's moving.
College hoops, Greg Gard gets his 200th career win as Wisconsin held on to win 70-68 over Ohio State at the Kohl Center. David Joplin with 30 points as Marquette gets past DePaul in overtime, 85-83. NFL, Matt LaFleur on what does Jordan Love need to improve as the Packers quarterback.
I think the next step is just to continue to evolve as a vocal leader. I think that just kind of comes with the position naturally. And I think he's taken steps to get there, but I think he can really demand a lot because the locker room, they respect him.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was found dead in a bathtub in 1971. Some believe he faked his own death. A new docuseries, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison, takes a closer look at the rock star who was only 27 when he fled to Paris, supposedly to get away from fame. Director Jeff Finn features Morrison's brother Andy and his sister Anne, as well as archival footage as he dives deep into the singer's life and death. The 3-episode documentary can be streamed on Apple TV for $7.99. Stop the presses. Robert De Niro will be playing a gangster in a new mob film. If that's not fun enough, De Niro's rival gangster in said mob film will be played by Robert De Niro. The film Alto Nights will tell the story of a 1950s dispute between legendary New York gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were once best friends but became adversaries. The film will be directed by Barry Levinson. How great would it be if De Niro received an Oscar and a Razzie for the same movie? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A little sunshine this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy and breezy this afternoon with a little light snow, maybe even a little freezing drizzle in a few spots. Our high in the mid-20s today. Tonight, breezy, mostly cloudy, 20. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high right around 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is zero.
Earl Ingram.
There may be lead contamination at your children's school. On the next show, we'll discuss the latest statement from Milwaukee Public Schools with Black and the campaign for lead-free water.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, January 15th, 2025. It's another beautiful day. It's another cold day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're not listening on the radio, if you're listening through an app on your phone or your smart speaker or by podcast or watching us on social media, we appreciate you starting your day right here. My only question for you is this. Can you believe we are 2 weeks into the new year already? The New Year's Day was 2 weeks ago? That just seemed, well, I mean, time is... That first week, that first full week of working, man, I tell you, remember how Greg and I sounded on Friday? We're like, it was 2 weeks, right? Like, nope, this is still only the second full work week of the year. But there's a lot going on. You know, we've got a new presidency starting next week, a new Congress, a new legislature. And then some things happening on the local scene that we're going to tell you about today as well. It turns out in a story from WEAU-TV in Eau Claire, that some law enforcement agencies in western Wisconsin have acknowledged using Eau Claire as a dumping ground, picking up homeless or mentally ill people who have not committed a crime, taxiing them to Eau Claire, and dumping them on the streets against their will. Now, well, there are some politicians that probably think that's a good idea, but there's no reason for law enforcement to sink to that level. We'll also tell you about how Governor Tony Evers has created a new program to reduce violence in our communities by addressing the root causes before there's a crisis that requires law enforcement. But the state's top Republican responds with insults and the mistaken assumption that more police are the best way to prevent crime. You know, the same Republicans who are engaged in the actual defund the police movement by creating tighter and tighter local budgets. We'll have our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff at 6:30, including a final round of grants for rural clean energy projects in Wisconsin before President Biden leaves office, with absolutely no guarantee that the Trump administration won't leave rural America high and dry. And our guest at 7:30 is Paul Hamilton, a former state Senate candidate in St. Croix County, who tells us about how important it is for former candidates not to walk away after an election loss, but to stay involved in their communities. We'll also have Todd Alba, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, and your input as well, if you'd like to share it at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can use the Civic Media app to text or call that number or put a comment up on Facebook or on YouTube. And perhaps we may show it up on screen as Mark does on Facebook, who writes, "Come on, Pat, show me some of that Northwoods compassion." I think I know what you're talking about, and we'll talk about that real soon. But first, let's do some temperatures around Wisconsin right now, because we are still in a cold snap here where it is 12 below here in Chippewa Falls. It is 16 below zero in Hayward. Amory is at minus 8, Wausau minus 7. Then La Crosse is 1 degree above zero. Green Bay is 1 degree above zero. Waukesha is 1 degree above zero. Madison doubled it, 2 degrees above zero. That's not really what they mean by doubling, is it? Anyway, Wisconsin Rapids is at 10 below right now. And alongside the lake, Radio Park in Racine, it is a sultry 5 above, where we welcome in Greg Bach down at Radio Park. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you doing this morning? Hopefully you're staying warm.
That much I am. That I can do here at home.
Yeah.
But I don't have to go out to a bus stop. You know, the extent of my exposure is walking Sherry's cups of coffee out to the car and putting them in the cup holder and kissing her goodbye.
Oh, sweet man.
Off to work. Oh yeah, I'm the morning barista. Got the hot coffee, got the iced coffee, so she's good to go, ready. And that way I'm properly caffeinated too. I mean, if I'm making it for me, I suppose I could share with my wife, right?
Also, that cold air is going to give you a nice wake up call.
Oh gosh, does it ever just? It does slap you, doesn't it?
Yes, slaps you right in the face and laughs at you.
Oh, it does. And then the only thing that to me seems more cruel than a sustained cold snap is one that's interrupted by temperatures way above average.
Because yep.
Apparently over the next couple of days, we're going to see 30s. Maybe some places will tickle 40. But then we're going to sink down to get even colder than this.
Yeah, this is real nice, isn't it? It's just it was a really good idea here. Real good idea.
Yeah, really, really nice.
Thank you, great-great-grandparents.
Yeah, you could have settled any place.
Yeah.
Well, okay, they didn't pick Iowa, so we got that much going for it.
Fair.
There. You can find out what we're covering over at Up North News in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Laurie puts that together for us. And as I'm looking at today's, it includes a note about some of the best breweries in Wisconsin that are owned by women. And, of course, if you like Spotted Cow, that would be the most prominent example, but there are plenty of others as well. Also, a story on how to reduce your energy bill under the Inflation Reduction Act, and we will have more about that with Melissa Ball coming up real soon in this week's Climate Check report. So, again, sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm going to jump right into sports because I know we have a lot of news to talk about as well. So let's get some of the basketball done with. Some of you on civic media stations may have listened to the Badger men's basketball team stave off a late rally by Ohio State and extend the Badgers' winning streak to 6 with a 70-68 victory last night. Yeah, Badgers, again, remember they started 0-2 in Big Ten play, but have now won 4 conference games in a row, so they're 4-2 in the conference. Now it's time for a West Coast road trip. They will be at USC on Saturday, and then UCLA next Tuesday. And you'll be able to hear those games on several Civic Media stations around the network and on the app. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. While we're on college basketball, let's mention the Marquette men's basketball team, 7th ranked in the country, I believe, outlasted DePaul last night, 85-83, and now they've won their first 6 conference games, 6-0 in the Big East for the Marquette men. In the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo had 30 points, 13 assists, 11 rebounds, so a triple-double for him. Not just any triple-double. It was his 50th career triple-double as the Milwaukee Bucks beat Sacramento 130-115 at home last night, part of a 4-game homestand this week. The Bucks will be at home tomorrow again to play Orlando, on Friday to play Toronto, and on Sunday to play Philadelphia. So a couple of sports notes for you right there. In the news, the Wisconsin Assembly, as expected, did pass a measure that would put on the ballot a constitutional amendment that would require photo ID for voting. Now, again, the merits of voter ID are debatable. There are folks who say, well, why wouldn't you need an ID? Well, that is an argument that is not, it's tough to argue with it, except for this. There isn't a voter fraud problem. There isn't a problem of people showing up and claiming they're somebody that they're not. In fact, the only time that we've really seen any cheating these past few election cycles have been people on behalf of Donald Trump cheating to prove that the system is wrong. It's like, well, no, the system works. You got caught engaging in voter fraud. But there are also plenty of people who don't have IDs for a host of reasons. Don't drive, don't need a license. They're older, don't have their birth certificate anymore. They've moved within the last short term and haven't yet been able to get registered to vote yet. All these other reasons why these otherwise legal and eligible voters should be able to vote, but Republicans in the legislature don't want them to because they tend to vote Democratic. So the voter ID measure isn't about fraud as much as they say it is. It's not because it doesn't happen. It's about finding a way to cheat and to prevent some people from voting who you suspect aren't going to vote your way. Well, now Republicans in the legislature want to take it a step further. It's one thing that it's a law. They want to put in the Constitution so that it's even harder to get rid of it when perhaps there is better progressive leadership in the legislature someday. So the first order of business for this legislature, the first order, had nothing to do with inflation or affordability or health care or education or the environment or tax cuts. None of those things that people have said that they wanted. They instead worked on a voter suppression bill to get that on the ballot this April, when you're also voting for a new, you're voting for state superintendent of public instruction and a new Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. And now there will likely be this referendum on the ballot as well. So all the more reason to be aware of how important that April 1st election is, especially that Supreme Court one where you have Dane County Judge Susan Crawford going up against Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel, Scott Walker's former attorney general. And so if you want more information on the April 1st election, are you registered, who's on the ballot, all of that and more, head to myvote.wi.gov. And, of course, keep it here on your favorite civic media station and read us over at upnorthnewswi.com for all the latest news about the April 1st election and its importance. I mentioned yesterday that Brad Schimmel has gone up on the air. TV ads are now starting to run about the Supreme Court race, a $1.1 million ad campaign. And that's what we told you yesterday, that the ads were starting. Now we've seen the ads, and we have to let you know those ads are starting. Brad Schimmel is starting out his campaign with an outright lie, saying that he led the initiative to reduce the backlog of untested rape kits in the Attorney General's office. During his first 2 years in office, with a massive backlog of rape kits, the number of kits that were tested were in the single digits. He dithered, dallied, delayed for a host of reasons, some of which he tried to explain, some of which defied explanation. And that backlog did not get cleared until Josh Call defeated him and took over the Attorney General's office. Now, let's be fair, the backlog predated Schimmel a bit. And it got going, the backlog got going, getting fixed late in Schimmel's term. But for him to say he was a leader in that initiative, given his abysmal performance in the first half of his term of Attorney General, well, that ad's just not right. We're going to talk about police and sheriff's offices using Eau Claire as a dumping ground next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park.
zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from, with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
One, two, three.
I like that. The folks at Linder Scooter say turn it up. Greg turns it up. That's how this works in this radio thing. I get the big thumbs up from the engineer over there. We'll tell you why that band is part of today's history lesson coming up in 30 minutes or so here on Up North News Radio. On the text line, one message from Scott in Madison, who writes, shocking, the Republicans beat the Democrats on messaging in the Supreme Court race. Sarcasm, by the way, from Scott, and to which I can only respond, yep. If you don't message first, if you don't tell the public first about an issue, the other side's gonna. And so how do you want to play that? And in this case, once again, Republicans are the first on TV telling folks about something about the Supreme Court race and about a particular issue where the candidate might not be on the up and up, but he's framing the message first. All right, I want to share some notes here that I learned this morning from a report over at WEAU TV 13, my old stomping grounds there. It's a story about how law enforcement in Eau Claire has discovered that over a certain period here, that it's one thing for a city to have homeless residents and to have people who are mentally ill and in need of care. And if they come from your particular city, well, that's one thing. It's another when they're coming into your city from smaller towns around the area. Now, that too is not necessarily a surprise. You know, the resources are here in the larger city, I guess. It's an entirely different matter when law enforcement agencies in those other areas are picking up people off the streets without consent, bringing them to Eau Claire in this instance, not taking them to the jail, not taking them to the hospital, not taking them to a shelter, dumping them on the streets, dumping them on a sidewalk outside a shelter, dumping them outside of a Quick Trip in one case, to the point now where the city of Eau Claire has sent a letter to State Attorney General Josh Call asking for his legal opinion on custodial transport outside territorial jurisdiction. That's a fancy way of saying something like this is akin to human trafficking. These folks in these other places, which include St. Croix County, Menominee, Durand, and perhaps others, they're not bringing these folks to their local jails. Let's be clear. This isn't like the Andy Griffith Show. This isn't Mayberry. where they see somebody is struggling, bring them into the local jail, you know, give them a hot meal, let them sleep it off, you know, whatever. No, they're taking them out of their hometowns. And in each case, as reported by the city of Eau Claire, as they learned about these specific examples, each of these individuals did not give their consent to be taken to Eau Claire, and certainly not taken to Eau Claire in an unorganized way without a natural endpoint. Again, a hospital, a rehab facility, a shelter, something like that. I won't trouble you with all the details. I will tell you that at the WEAU.com website, you can get the full story, including the lengthy letter from the city of Eau Claire to the attorney general spelling out some of the specific examples. But more importantly to me is the response from a couple of these places. Now, the city of Eau Claire says in the letter, "We believe these transports to be unlawful at worst and unprofessional at best." And they said they have contacted some of these other law enforcement agencies with varying responses. The letter says, "Menominee was apologetic and has made efforts to retrain officers to discourage this practice. St. Croix County sympathized with being a quote-unquote dumping ground, but made no promises on future reoccurrences, and records indicate a less than forthright response to Eau Claire Police Department regarding the provided example. The Durand Police Department was unapologetic and in fact said officers would likely continue this conduct in the future. As a Chippewa Valley resident, allow me to say to the Durand Police Department, stop it. Don't do it. It is illegal. It nearly amounts to human trafficking. If you have a problem in your community, deal with it in your community. Eau Claire is doing the best that it can with the folks who are there. Eau Claire is a welcoming community. There have been debates there about welcoming in refugees from war-torn regions around the world. Eau Claire has been a welcoming place for the Hmong community dating back to their earliest arrival in this country. There is nothing wrong with Eau Claire in terms of a reception for others, but not from other law enforcement agencies picking up people off the streets and dumping them here. Now, we're going to talk in the next hour about how Governor Tony Evers wants to set up an Office of Violence Prevention. Reporter Elizabeth Montemurro is going to tell us about that, about addressing crime at its root causes before you need the police. The response from Wisconsin's top Republican, Robin Voss, is downright insulting, and we'll play it in our next hour. But his response to this is that what you need are more police, that more police are the best way to prevent crime. No, that's not true. It has never been true. Police we trust to respond to incidents, to investigate them, to make arrests. But the only way you can conceive of more police as a way to prevent violence is if you're talking about a presence on the streets. Do you want armed police standing on the corners? Is that your idea of a crime deterrent? But more importantly for this argument, I know the Durand Police Department is struggling with tight budgets. St. Croix County is struggling with tight budgets. Menominee is struggling with tight budgets. And you hear about the so-called defund the police movement. Do you know who is defunding the police? Wisconsin's top Republican. And every Republican in the Wisconsin legislature, when they year after year after year put limits on local governments that hinder their ability to fully fund law enforcement, all done in the name of, you know, taxpayer savings and budget austerity. But I think Tony up in Ashland says it really well up on YouTube. Why would Republicans want to prevent crime when they could be tough on it? And that's exactly what this is. This is cosmetic. Whether you're dumping people or pretending to get tough by pretending to boost police when you're actually helping cut police budgets. Climate Check is after this. You're up north.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Michigan and California, the two states continuing to add cases of high-path avian influenza in their dairy herd. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, it's not just the wildfires decimating California. As of yesterday, California had still documented more than 30 new cases of high-path avian influenza in their dairy herd. Michigan, fewer than five. Bryce Windecker, broker analyst with EverAg, says that impact on California's dairy herd is likely going to show up in our December milk production report.
That certainly helped sustain a December to January rally, you know, very, very counter-seasonal. And from what we've been hearing, they hit, I would say, they peaked out at their bird flu effect at about the second, third week in December. So I would expect another poor milk production report coming out of California here in the next couple of weeks when that December report comes out. And then it does sound like they have recovered, but certainly a lot more culling than in other milk sheds.
Bryce Windecker, a dairy farmer himself and also a broker analyst with EverAg in New York State. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will release the December milk production figures next Wednesday, January 22nd. As of this morning, Michigan and California, the only two remaining states with any cases of high-path avian influenza in their dairy herds at all.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Make the best of wintertime fun at the 4th Annual Sun Prairie Frozen Fest, January 29th through February 2nd, presented by the Bank of Sun Prairie. It's a fantastic opportunity to enjoy a variety of winter activities like the puzzle contest, cardboard sled classic, winter beer garden, bonfire, hibernation hustle 5K, pancake breakfast, and the 77th Annual Groundhog Day Prognostication. For more about Frozen Fest, log on to cityofsunprairie.com.
On Tuesday, barrel cheese was down a penny at 187. The 40-pound block cheese also dropped a penny at 190. Double A butter down 3¾ cents, closed 257.5 per pound. This morning, we've got December corn unchanged. The November new crop beans are up a penny at 1051. July wheat's up 2 at 566. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A little sunshine this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy and breezy this afternoon with a little light snow, maybe even a little freezing drizzle in a few spots. Our high in the mid-20s today. Tonight, breezy, mostly cloudy, 20. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high right around 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Top of the show at 2 p.m. I dissect Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection report. You're not going to want to miss this lawyer lady breaking it down for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
All All right, welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning. Melissa Baldoff is here for our weekly climate check. The last climate check in the last normal week. Maybe there's a little hyperbole in there, but I'm not so sure. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I just think that next week we're going to be talking about, holy cow, look at all this stuff that the new administration wants to do already. But let's not worry about that today, because on this last full week of the Biden administration, it needs to be made clear again that I mean, seriously, no president has done more for rural Wisconsin and for clean energy than Joseph R. Biden. And he's going out with a bang here. And so the USDA, and through their state rural development director, my old Senate colleague, Julie Lassa, they're going out with an announcement of millions of dollars in grant funding to expand access to clean energy systems and increase the availability of domestic biofuels. There are so many things here. Melissa, do you want to talk either overall about the program or some of the individual programs that are going to be funded?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should talk a little bit about the program in general, and then we should talk about some of these specific projects that are going to be happening. And, you know, I'll say, you know, first of all, I want to say, take another little step back and say, you know, we've seen dozens and dozens of these announcements over the past 4 years of the Biden-Harris administration. So, you know, like you said, I just want to really drive that point home that no one has done more for rural communities, for clean energy, for expanding the clean energy economy than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It has been really incredible to see these investments, to know that communities are getting this kind of support, that they're being lifted up, that people are going to see the impact of this investment for years to come, you know, for a generation, that this funding is really going to make a difference. So it's always exciting to see these announcements, even though we have seen many of these kinds of announcements about funding. And it's nice to know that still, even, you know, with, you know, almost clock run out here, we are still seeing announcements about more support, more funding going out to communities. But just a quick little bit about how this is being funded, some of these being funded through the Rural Energy for America program, which is a big part of this. Is a really exciting program that provides a lot of support in rural areas, around the country. So this is something that allows loan financing and grant funding to go to agricultural producers and rural small businesses for renewable energy systems or to make energy efficiency improvements. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that an entity can be eligible to receive this funding to be able to, you know, do geothermal, to do wind generation, solar, to do insulation, lighting, to do improvements for doors and windows that are more energy efficient, for cooling, refrigeration, just anything to make, you know, more energy efficient improvements that are going to help save money and, you know, help save money in the long run. So This is a really good program.
Yeah, and let me put things in perspective here from a time perspective. Now, this program is called the Rural Energy for America program, or REAP, as Melissa noted. It was around prior to Joe Biden, and in fact, a Fox 11 story out of Green Bay notes that since 2021, the USDA has invested nearly $50 million in more than 250 projects in Wisconsin through REAP. And nobody is saying that it's necessarily going to go away under the Biden or under the Trump administration, except to say that all that Trump and his incoming administration have talked about are massive budget cuts. And as a result, there's reason to worry that REAP might be one of those that has been helping, again, dozens of projects in Wisconsin to make things more energy efficient and, create jobs in the process. There's just a lot that's been done. And do you want to talk a bit about some of the specific ones that caught your eye?
Yeah, absolutely. So looking into, this announcement, definitely noticed how these are going to help some of these communities around the state. So I saw in Kewaunee County, Rosewood Dairy in Algoma is going to use a $500,000 REAP grant to install more energy efficient lighting. It's going to save that business more than $18,000 a year, and also save nearly 238,000 kilowatt hours per year, which is about 60% of their energy use. So that's a pretty significant amount of dollar savings, but also a very significant energy usage savings.
Without a doubt. And it just, again, goes to show that there's so many different ways that this project can go to work. There's another program that is, again, part of this through the USDA Rural Development Office, and it's called the Higher Blends Infrastructure Incentive Program. That sounds rather government speak there. But again, it is there to assist with moving toward cleaner burning biofuels that are not as reliant on fossil fuels. And Wisconsin is one of the leading areas that has been researching biofuels. How do I know this? Because way back when in the legislature, I chaired a legislative study committee all about Wisconsin biofuels. And the gist of what we learned there was that, this state, which is already so heavy, Melissa, in research and development, was poised to really make great strides in biofuels. And it's clear from this announcement that that has come to fruition, that for anybody looking for alternatives to traditional fossil fuels, there are biofuels made in Wisconsin that they can take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just really one of those other incredible opportunities to take advantage of what funding is available and the ways that that we can capitalize on the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah, as I was looking at again some of what it does here, it supports infrastructure improvements and business development to help with fuel pumps and dispensers and storage tanks, and so you're going to see a lot more of this along the way. But that's not all. Again, one of the things that the Biden administration has been leading the way on through the Inflation Reduction Act is something called the Home Electrification and Appliance Rebates Program. And that's HEAR, H-E-A-R, Home Electrification and Appliance Rebates Program. And Melissa, that too is a way where, again, ordinary folks can save all kinds of money by doing home upgrades that then make their homes energy efficient and lower their utility bills.
Yeah, this is a really exciting program. This is one that is going to allow folks to save up to $14,000 for rebates to upgrade their equipment and homes and appliances. It can cover up to 100% of costs for lower income families and up to 50% of costs for middle-income families to do things like install an electric heat pump for their heating and cooling needs, for electrical panels, for electrical wiring, for electric heat pump water heater. So this is a really, really cool opportunity for people to be able to electrify some of those appliances and get a rebate for them, and be able to save money and have more efficient appliances in their appliances in their homes, to know that they are going to be reducing their carbon footprint, saving some money, reducing their energy costs each month, and having those savings that they're going to realize. So this is a really cool program that is available. It's available right now through Focus on Energy in the state. And it's a complement to another program that launched last year in the summer, was the Home Efficiency Rebate Program. And Wisconsin was the first state to launch the Homes Rebate Program, and one of the very first states to be able to launch the Home Energy Rebate Program. And, you know, a big part of that is because we have the Focus on Energy program in our state, because we have the framework set up to be able to deliver on these programs, and we have the infrastructure that people are able to start taking advantage of them right away. Some other states were starting kind of from nothing, from ground zero. They're having to build out the infrastructure and what it takes to be able to administer programs and to start to deliver and get people set up and offer the rebates. Wisconsin already had what it takes. We already have this infrastructure. We have the manpower to be able to get people going and set up and start getting rebates. There are already people who have gotten the work done, gotten rebates, and are moving forward on some of these projects. So people can start this process right away and start saving money right away.
That's right. So for all of these examples here and more, I want to make sure we're clear on the point we're laying out, because I'm sure a few folks are thinking, you know, are you guys relitigating the election here? No, the election's over. But I think that it's worth noting that, you know, the outgoing president can take a bit of a victory lap for the things that got accomplished for rural Wisconsin and for green energy. And that if these programs interest you, whether you've already used them or you're thinking about some upgrades, some appliances, just everything that you've heard about here, that those resources are out there now. But it would be really good if you let, you know, your senator know, your congressional rep, a state legislator, that this is a priority. Because I know it's one that doesn't get talked about a lot. You know, people don't talk about, you know, I want to get a new electric water pump, you know, heater for my house or something. But then they're doing the work and they're thinking, oh, wait, wasn't there some kind of a rebate program or something like that? So, you know, one of the things that isn't as glamorous I like to talk about in segments like this, Melissa, is that there are these everyday things where there are programs that can help out and you should know about them. So that, you know, you can let people know, hey, this is something worth keeping. This is a good use of our tax dollars.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, there is Wisconsin received nearly $150 million from the Department of Energy for these home energy rebate programs. That money is here and it is for the residents of this state to use for these programs. So people should absolutely apply for it. Obviously, we could talk about the weather and it's cold, but, you know, unfortunately, the Packers are out. It's almost a month till, you know, pitchers and catchers report. You know, Bucks are doing pretty okay. But, you know, like, here's something to talk about. Talk about how we can do this, how you can take advantage of these rebates. You know, here's a good conversation starter for people. So I think that we should be talking about these rebates.
And we're not even kidding, because it's this time of year that people start thinking about, you know, what kind of a home remodeling project might they be doing in the spring or summer. So we've got you still intrigued about the things that are out there. Can't guarantee for how long they are, but at least now you know a bit more about it. And that's because of our weekly climate check that is handled each week so well by Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, thank you as always. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
We will be back with today's history lesson after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Donald Trump's inaugural committee has received $170 million in contributions, and it's expected to reach $200 million, almost double his 2017 total. Yes, the contributions pay for inaugural balls, but inaugural funds are also a vehicle for corporate pay-to-play contributions, currying favor for federal contracts, lenient legislation, or access to the president. The Associated Press reported January 9th that the totals were far beyond President Trump's $107 million in 2017 and President Biden's $62 million in 2021. The Federal Election Commission oversees inaugural contributions, and any donation of $200 or more must be reported. But 90 days after the contribution is made and long after the spotlight is gone. There are no individual or corporate contribution limits, and only foreign nationals are barred from donating. Among the known 2024 inaugural donors, Amazon, Meta, OpenAI, Toyota, Ford, General Motors, and Boeing all made public statements when they donated $1 million each. Energy company Chevron said in a statement to Reuters, "Chevron has a long tradition of celebrating democracy by supporting the inaugural committees of both parties." Or perhaps they're sending a message to someone. We have more on the pay-to-play history of inaugurations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You know, Melissa Kay is here, and you got a cute way of talking. You know that? Leo Sayer said that anyway. Okay. Back on this day in 1977, when You Make Me Feel Like Dancing was the number one single, there was a new number one album that week, a brand new album by the Eagles called Hotel California.
Never heard of it.
Think it might go places. It went farther than Leo Sayer did with this single, but both were number one. 48 years ago this week.
Okay, that... shut up.
I have to worry. It's January. It takes longer to do the math this time. Melissa's here, and God bless her for it, from 97.5 WFHR, 105.5 WIRI. Catch her twice a week on Community Stories with Melissa
Kay. Not right now. We're on break. The show is on break right now, and when it comes back, it'll be a little different, but that's okay.
Okay, forget it. Forget everything that I just said, and we'll just ask Melissa. How did you? You were off last week. Did you get a little rest?
I got a little rest and relaxation. I finished up some Christmas presents. Don't judge me. It's fine.
we got one last Christmas card. I'm pretty sure it's the last one that we got the other day from somebody. We're like, yep, they're normally the later ones, and there's always say Happy New Year instead.
Yeah, people started putting Happy New Year on them. Then there's something.
That's right.
Happy
all year to send them out.
Merry Valentine's Day. Hello.
Right.
You guys too. You make me smile.
Yeah. Let's see. Birthdays today. This is the anniversary of the birth of the late Ronnie Van Zant, born this day in 1948 from a little band called Lynyrd Skynyrd. Of course, would be from Give Me Three Steps. On this day in 1967, Super Bowl I was played in Los Angeles, and the Green Bay Packers defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 35-10. Martin Luther King Jr. was born this day in 1929. I want you to listen to this next clip. This is Mick Jagger on the Ed Sullivan Show. The Rolling Stones were appearing this day in 1967 to sing their hit record, Let's Spend the Night Together. But Ed Sullivan would not let them sing Let's Spend the Night Together. So listen as they sing Let's Spend Some Time Together. And for Greg, as he's watching the YouTube clip, watch Mick and the boys roll their eyes as they're singing this lyric. Love that look. It's just like, hard, yeah, hard. We got to do what we got to do.
That's fine. A hard eye roll right there.
Yep. But, you know, back then, Ed Sullivan was the big dog. You did whatever to get on there.
The Doors.
Yes. Well, so some groups managed to get banned or just really cheese off Mr. Sullivan. Let's see. That was on this night in 1967. In a studio that day, the Buckinghams were recording a song that would hit the charts shortly after. All the other guys in town, can't you see? You're hurting me, don't you care? Now, I've got to ask you, Melissa, the next one is Don McLean's American Pie. You're familiar with the song.
Yes.
But do you feel like, how many of the lyrics do you think you could bang out if prompted? Have you heard it that much?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not without it playing along.
Okay. It was the number one song this day in 1972. This will be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? It is almost a memory test for people of a certain age to see if they can still get all the lyrics out before forgetting, because there's a lot here. It's such a long song, 8.5 minutes. That back in the olden days, you had to flip the 45 over to hear the second half of the song. Yeah, yep. I got one more.
A decade before I was born.
Okay, knock it off.
Let's see. Well, you know who was born close to that then would be Pitbull, who is 43. Wanna see that thing drop from the back to the front to the top? You know me, I'm off in the cut. All right, Pitbull was born Armando Perez, and yeah, he is 43 years old today, and a different kind of music than Don McLean. I think we would all agree.
Skosh.
This is the anniversary of the Miracle on the Hudson, as U.S. Airways Flight 1549 safely ditches in the Hudson River after a bird strike. All 155 people on board were rescued because of Tom Hanks, who was piloting the airplane that day. Or at least he portrayed Sully in the movie.
I was trying to think about that. How many? I think that Tom Hanks might be America's biographical actor.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think he's played more real life or based on real life characters than I think any other actor in, at least in America.
Pretty darn close. Yeah. Yep. If we missed it earlier, and I think we did, Rob from Tigerton chimes in with a Happy New Year, Melissa, on Facebook.
Happy New Year, Rob.
Yeah, and Tony from Ashland, flipping the 45. I remember so vividly. That was annoying, not nearly as annoying as my mom playing her 8-track player and how the 8-track would sometimes change channels in the middle of the song. Ooh. And you'd get that ka-chunk in the middle of the song, and then the song would come back into play. You kids don't appreciate how good the technology is.
Okay, but the frustration now is you're listening to a common council meeting and an ad pops up in the middle of it.
Oh, that's true. You know what? Pop-up ads are what you youngins will tell your grandkids someday, like us for the 8-tracks. We're practically the same, Melissa.
Practically.
Someone
happy
help
bagel
me.
Day, happy strawberry ice cream day, happy hat day, and happy Wikipedia day, where, you know, someday Melissa K is going to have a very long entry. Trust me. Melissa, thank you. Happy New Year. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you guys, too.
All right. Elizabeth Montemaro tells us about Governor Doyle's new initiative to reduce violence in Wisconsin. Next, you're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
On the way, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us. I got an interesting voicemail about I don't have to worry about paying any taxes. Also, who is coming in on H-1B visas? Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Big speech tonight from the Oval Office as President Biden delivers his farewell address to the nation. Donald Trump's second inauguration will be held on Monday. Today, more of Donald Trump's cabinet nominees will face questions from senators that will decide on their confirmations. In Southern California, another round of strong Santa Ana winds is set for today, raising the risk of more fires. However, ABC chief meteorologist Ginger Z says there is relief on the way.
By tomorrow, things really start to settle down. The wind speeds are near calm for Santa Clarita by Friday. You know the other best part? We're going to get onshore flow by Friday. That means that the humidity is going to bump up, talking 60%. That's going to help so much. You might even see a sprinkle by the end of the week in Southern California.
In about an hour, we'll get a snapshot of the economy when the Labor Department releases consumer price index numbers. The expectation is that inflation likely worsened last month due to higher prices for eggs, gas, and used cars. This is ABC News.